Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Read together with me, would you, the title of today's sermon, the entire title. Twins, alike but not alike. Based on Romans chapter 5, please listen to these verses. Sin entered the world through one man, Adam. And death through sin. But how much more did God's grace come by the one man, Jesus Christ? Please follow your sermon outline as we consider the text and the theme of twins alike but not alike. Well, since it's about 50 years ago, I can tell this story now. My wife knows the story. I remember my very first date when I was young and in high school. This was a date with a girl named Kim, and she had a twin sister named Chris. They were both pretty young girls. They both had a great sense of humor, as I was soon to learn. I came to the door of their home, so excited, my first date ever, and I was greeted at the door by Kim. At least I thought it was Kim because I couldn't yet tell them apart. She asked me to come down and sit in the living room, and she went to do something, and shortly later she returned, and we visited some more. But it seemed like every time I tried to get a little closer to her on the couch, all of a sudden she had something else to do, and she would get up and do it. Now, this happened a few times. I tried to keep smiling and make my best appearance at this first date. As I was left in the room one more time, I suddenly heard some giggling in the kitchen. Then suddenly into the living room came two girls dressed exactly the same, Kim and Chris. And they wanted me to guess which was which. As you might have guessed, these identical twins had been taking turns sitting on the couch next to me to see if I could figure out who was who. Well, our sermon text from Romans chapter 5, in a matter of speaking, talks about twins. It talks about sin coming into the world through one man and God's grace coming into the world through one man. These men have been called the old Adam and the new Adam. They are the original Adam through whom sin came into this world in the form of original sin, and the new Adam, Jesus, who brought us forgiveness from that sin. The very thing we were talking about in adult instruction class today. But the term old Adam, and look at your outline, the term old Adam can also refer to that sinful person inside each of us who continues, like the Adam of old, to rebel against God. And Jesus continues himself to be the new Adam who forgives our sins and shows us a new way to live. Just like I had to pick between the two girls on that first date, today you have a choice to make. Which Adam will it be for you? The old or the new? Now consider the person of Adam number one, and it's before you on your handout. You know Adam number one from the accounts of Genesis chapter 1 and 2, specially created by God. Compared to the rest of the creation, Adam is the only creation that was personally formed by God's hands from the clay of the earth. Of all the other animals and people in creation, Adam was the only one into whose nostrils God breathed the breath of life. Adam lived in harmony with God. He walked with him. He talked with him. But Adam shattered the harmony. He rebelled against God, and he listened to the voice of that liar, that literal snake in the grass, the serpent, Satan in disguise. Adam broke the heart of God. He hurt himself, and he infected all of mankind with the plague that continues today, the plague that we call original sin. Now consider the person, Adam number two. This is your dear Lord Jesus Christ, given to our sinful world as a gift of God's love. And if you know this next passage, say it with me. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Into that manger of Bethlehem, God placed his love for all human beings, the baby Jesus. Baby Jesus, the new Adam, came to fix the problem caused by the first Adam. Jesus grew up and lived in perfect harmony with his heavenly Father. He kept all of the commandments, never breaking one of them. Hebrews 4:15 says this about Jesus: "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. No, we have one who has been tempted in all things as we are, and yet he is without sin." Now consider the product of Adam number one. The old Adam inside each of us is in rebellion against God. We do not live as God wants us to live. We hurt others. We hurt ourselves. The original hint sin that we inherited from Adam, now we show by our actual sins of hurting ourselves and others and disobeying God. I was surprised some years ago that this idea of sin in the world was pointed out to me by a sergeant in the local RCMP detachment. Years ago, I served on the Citizens Advisory Committee of the local RCMP. A constable was making a presentation that day about the reason for increasing crime in our world, increasing crime in our communities, and hurts in the families. Let me quote what this RCMP officer said to those who were gathered. He said these words: "As an officer of the law, for many years, it is my opinion that the root cause of many of the problems I deal with every day is a spiritual problem. People today have simply turned their backs to God, and the results are all around us." Quite an amazing thing to hear from an RCMP constable. The old Adam in each one of us derails our life with God, gets us off track, causes us to go to places we should not be, causes us to be the person we don't want to be. St. Paul describes this struggle each of us have as we fight against the old Adam inside of us. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 7. It's a tug of war. Paul says, "For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. For the good that I wish, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I don't want to do. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this?" Not only does the old Adam in each of us derail our life with God, it finally destroys our life with God. The final purpose of that evil twin, the old Adam, his final purpose is to separate us eternally from God in a place called hell. Look what Romans 5, verse 12 says. "Therefore, just as through one man entered into the world, and death through that sin, so death spread to all men." But now consider the product of Adam number two. What's his name? Jesus. Jesus, the second Adam. In Romans chapter 5, we find an extended explanation by St. Paul. Pretty heavy theology, but an extended discussion of the contrast between the old Adam and what he's done, and the new Adam, Jesus, and what he's done. Now listen to this text, but especially listen to the contrast. Paul says, "For if by the transgression of the one man many died, much more did the grace of God by the other man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation for all men, so even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification for all men. For as through the one man's disobedience many were made sinners, through the obedience of the one many were made righteous. This entire passage is a commentary on what Jesus, the second Adam, did for all of us sinners. On the cross, Jesus, the second Adam, undid what the first man did and brought in the first of creation. And what the old Adam is doing in your heart and my heart today. Jesus, the new Adam, overturned sin and death. Jesus, the new Adam, exchanged our sin and our death. And we got his righteousness and eternal life. What's more, and please listen carefully to these next few sentences. Are we listening? What's more, when any of us, old Adams, humbly put our trust and faith in Jesus, we become God's beloved children. And every barrier between us and Almighty God is torn down. I say it again. Because of Jesus, the new Adam, there is no longer any barrier between sinful people and a holy God. In Christ, the barrier has been torn down. And we end this sermon today with a story that illustrates this very point. During a past war, a soldier died and his two army buddies wanted to give him a decent burial, a respectful burial before their outfit moved on. They found a cemetery in a nearby village. It happened to be a Roman Catholic cemetery, and the young boy who died was a Baptist. When the two soldiers found the priest in charge of the cemetery, the priest refused the request to bury the boy in the cemetery because the boy was not Catholic. When the priest saw their disappointment, though, he told them they could bury their friend outside the fence. Now, this was done, and many months later, when the fighting had ceased and the soldiers passed through that village, they came to find the grave of their friend, but they couldn't find the grave. They went to find the priest and asked him, where was the grave? And the priest said that after they buried their friend and they left, he couldn't sleep. He just didn't feel right about burying that young boy outside the fence. So he himself got out of bed and he moved the fence to include the buried dead young soldier. My friends, in Jesus Christ, the new Adam, by his work of redemption upon the cross, Almighty God has moved the fence. We sinners have been forgiven. We have been welcomed as his beloved children. The fence of sin and death, constructed by the old Adam, has been torn down forever. Thanks be to God for Jesus, our new Adam. In the name of Jesus, all God's people say, Amen.